Of God this morning to Matthew and chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And our text will be verse 7. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. The Lord Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And I want us this morning to look particularly at God's wonderful mercy, and for each of us to enter into and enjoy God's mercy. It was a beautifully bright Sabbath day, and the people downed their tools and devoted their time and minds and hearts to the worship of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples on this particular Sabbath day went through the grain fields. The disciples were hungry. Following the Lord Jesus is not always a bed of roses. It's not always easy. And even the disciples following Jesus had times of want and hunger. Whether they'd had any breakfast or midday meal, we're not told, but they were hungry. And sometimes as we follow Jesus Christ, life isn't plain sailing, and we suffer need. Well, there was provision for the disciples. There were the grain fields, and it was legitimate for people to pluck the heads of grain and eat them. Only on this occasion, the Pharisees were there. They were like a pack of hyenas, on the edge of the field, watching the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples and wanting to pounce upon them. And the disciples just plucking their ears of corn and grinding them within their palms and then eating them gave these hyena Pharisees an opportunity to pounce. And they demanded of Jesus, why is it that your disciples break the traditions of the elders? Why do they break the Sabbath rules? Your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And to silence these Pharisees, Jesus gives three things from the Bible. One from the part of the Bible which you might know as history, one from the part of the Bible you would call law, and one from part of the Bible you call the prophets. So it didn't matter which part of the Bible you go to, you'll get the same lesson. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was wanting to teach the Pharisees the truth, he takes them to different parts of the Bible and teaches them. It's a very good principle when you're reading. You may get an idea as you read a verse. That's one verse. And this enormous idea springs to mind from this one verse for you. And you think, this is a genius. I found something new. And it all hangs on this verse. Well, be very careful. It can't be that great if it just hangs on one verse. God will sort of lay a foundation for the great truths. And all through the Bible, there will be references to it. So don't get too excited if you think one verse maintains some strange doctrine. It's probably a wrong interpretation of the verse. Jesus lays this foundation, lays it in the history, he lays it in the law, he lays it in the prophets. And he tells them, have you never read what David did when he was hungry? You know, here's my disciples, they're doing something because they're hungry. Have you never read what David did when he was hungry? If you'd read it, you wouldn't criticize my disciples. Haven't you read in your law what the priests do on the Sabbath? If you read that and understood it, you wouldn't have blamed my disciples for what they're doing. Haven't you read in the prophets? I desire mercy and not sacrifice. If you'd known that, then you wouldn't have condemned the guiltless. So I want us to look at this mercy, the mercy of Jesus. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And there are three things from this passage in Matthew 11 and 12 that I want us to look at. The call of mercy. Jesus' call of mercy. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. The call of mercy. To come and find rest for your souls. And then these case studies of mercy. David and the priests and the law. Those case studies of God's mercy. And then finally the cost of mercy. How much does mercy cost? Jesus is free to us, but not to him. So hear Jesus' call to mercy. Come unto me, Matthew 11 verse 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The disciples were hungry. They were with Jesus, and he was quite happy for them to find relief for their hunger by plucking the heads of grain and eating. Jesus is merciful, and you may be troubled and restless, and he wants you to have rest in your soul. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You may not be hungry. I hope you're not hungry. Some of you may have skipped breakfast, but you're scarcely hungry in real terms. You may not be hungry. Your stomach may not be crying out for, another Mars bar or a double-decker or something to just ease things, raise the sugar level. You may not be hungry and needing something like that, but you may be restless within and your heart may be hungry for something. You may be battling with sin and temptation. Nobody else may know about that, but it's a battle you've been fighting and losing constantly. And you are hungry for victory. How many more times will that temptation come? And how many more times will I fall? And every time I fall, the bruises seem to be deeper. The injuries less likely to be healed. And you've battled on and on and on. It's a secret warfare that you've been conducting. And you are hungry for victory, but it never seems to come. All that seems to happen is this dismal, disappointing, depressing failure. And you are like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, who is sinking in the slough of despond or despair. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary, who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. The one to give you victory in the battle is Jesus. Or perhaps you've been serving the Lord faithfully, and from victory unto victory, you've been going at a good pace, and it's taken its toll on you. It's not that the defeat has taken its toll upon you, but the constant energy and exercise of serving the Lord, you're weary. You've been absorbed with the labors and the service of the Lord, and you haven't noticed it, but as you've been busy fighting and apparently winning the Lord's battles, you've drifted from the Lord Jesus Christ. And too busy with the work that you haven't been focusing upon him. And not focusing upon him, the energy is switched. Instead of being the gracious energy from Jesus flooding and filling and sustaining you, it's been your own endeavor, and you've been freewheeling, as it were, in the service of Jesus Christ. And it's become wearisome. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you a rest. Or perhaps the undying worm of guilt gnaws at your conscience. Been eating away the guilt, the shame. And all that's left now for you is a shell of shame. It's eaten your heart out. You seem empty within. It's just guilt and shame. There's no life, no substance. It's just the emptiness of failure. And Jesus is merciful. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives rest to everyone who comes to him. Spiritual, eternal, wonderful rest. Hear God in heaven, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He loves to be merciful. And the blessings of his mercy are rest and relief and restoration, recovery, eternal joys in heaven above too. So that's the call of mercy. Now listen to some of these case studies of mercy which Jesus brings to the Pharisees who don't really understand God's mercy. These case studies. His hungry disciples have grazed on the grains of wheat in the field with his full approval. He delights in their being relieved of their hunger. You can just imagine the relief that there is. You may remember in the Old Testament, Jonathan, who we read about, he was fighting a battle. He hadn't heard Saul's sort of anathema on anybody who ate that day. So he, in the battle, he comes to a wood. There's plenty of bees buzzing around, making honey, and the honey is dripping down. It's all on the ground. It's dripping honey. So he dips his stick in the honey and eats it. And he's so refreshed, the energy level just zoops up. And he says, if all the army could just sort of eat some of this honey, we'd be a re-energized army. And his colleagues tell him, you know, Saul has forbidden anybody to eat anything today. That's why they don't eat. But the surge of help that a bit of food comes when you're hungry. I expect some wives know that their husbands need to be sort of fed something to sort of keep them going. Otherwise, the bad temper comes in. And well, just a bit of food might just sort of ease things. A practical help. And the disciples, they were hungry. Maybe they were groaning as they went along and they glad to get into the field and eat. Well, Jesus was merciful and he was glad to give them this food. Or let them help themselves. Only the Pharisees are watching. And they think that plucking the ears of corn, that's harvesting. And grinding them in your palms, that's milling. And you can't harvest on a Sabbath, and you can't mill grain on the harvest on a Sabbath. And so they condemn the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, have you never read what David did when he was hungry? It's a very apt illustration for Jesus to use because it's connected to the Sabbath and it's connected to the house of God. David was hungry and weary. Why was he hungry and weary? He was hungry and weary because Saul was seeking to kill him. That's why he excused himself from the feast. And he hid himself for 3 days in the fields while Jonathan was doing his sort of reconnaissance to find out whether Saul really intended to kill David or not. And so for 3 days, David had been living rough, as it were, out in hiding, not daring to show his face in case anybody reported where he was to Saul. Jonathan finds out that Saul really was intent on murdering David. He threw his spear at Jonathan to pin him to the wall because Jonathan was aiding and defending David. David got the secret message from Jonathan and then the audible message, he picked that up as well. And then he fled and he knew where to go when he was in need. He went to the house of God, which at that time was just north of Jerusalem, at Nob, on the Mount of Olives. If you think of the Mount of Olives, it's a whole range of mountains, a sort of ridge of mountains, and at the far end is probably where the little place Nob was, and the priest Abiathar was there. He goes to the priest. He knows where to go when he's in need, to the house of God. And he asks, have you got any bread here? And the priest says, well, there's no common bread here. The only bread we have is the showbread, those 12 loaves that are placed on the table of showbread in the temple. It's interesting that those loaves have just been taken away so that hot bread could be put in its place. And that only happened on the Sabbath day. Every Sabbath there was the changeover. The hot loaves were put in place, the cold ones taken away for the priests to eat, and only the priests. The priests were to eat them as representatives of the people, and to eat them in the presence of God. It's a sort of symbol of God wants us to be near to him. And the priests eating the showbread in the presence of God was a kind of picture of God wanting people to be at home with him. And in the representatives of the priests, the people were at home with God, eating in the holy place this sacred bread. And as David comes, the only bread that they've got is the bread which has come straight from the showbread table, because the hot bread's been put in its place. So in all probability, it was the Sabbath day, or at least connected with the Sabbath day. And David says to the priest, well, in a sense, it's common bread. Because in a sense, what's happening is it is the picture of God's mercy to the people, wanting the people to share in fellowship with him, in the closeness of eating with him. And the priest understands that God doesn't stand on ceremony. The priest understands that God is more interested in showing mercy than sticking to just simple ceremony. And so Abiathar the priest gives David the loaves. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He went into the house of God, the place where he'd find mercy. And he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, except for the priests. But the mercy of God is able to sort of bypass the ceremonial to bring the real in its place. Rather than stick to the ceremony, go to what the ceremony is pointing to. The mercy of God in feeding David. So that's one picture. And the second case study is an illustration from the law. So they were experts in the law. And Jesus says, have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Well, how did they break the law on the Sabbath? Well, you weren't to light fires on the Sabbath day. You weren't to do any work, but it was a working day for the priests. They stoked the fire of the altar. They put new fuel on the altar to keep it burning. They slaughtered the burnt offerings in the morning and in the evening. Why? Because God wants to be merciful to sinners. He wants the sinners who are gathering for worship and want their sins forgiven, or some token that their sins are forgiven, he wants them to know that God will be merciful to their sins. So he says to the priests, you carry on offering the sacrifices. You carry on offering these blood offerings that are symbols of the turning away of God's wrath and his mercy towards sinners. And then The passage is building. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. It's a quotation from the prophets. You see how that passage combines to tell us about God's mercy. God is merciful. Come to me, all of you who labor and are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus is merciful to the disciples. He lets them pluck the ears of corn and eat them to alleviate their hunger. God is merciful. He was merciful to David. David could eat the showbread and he wasn't blamed for it. And Abiathar is praised for doing it. The Old Testament priests minister mercy every Sabbath day. God is a God who wants to alleviate our troubles, our griefs, our sorrows, our spiritual pains. And the Lord Jesus Christ draws attention to himself, just as the disciples were plucking ears of corn, and really the Pharisees were getting at Jesus. You are letting your disciples break the Sabbath. And Jesus draws attention to himself. He says, you know, David, where did he go? He went to the house of God. When did he go? Probably on the Sabbath day, when the hot bread has been put in place and the old showbread is taken away and available to eat. He draws attention to himself. He says, verse 6, I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. Greater than the temple. Where did David go? When he was running away from Saul, who was after him to kill him, destroy him. David went to the house of God. The disciples, in their hunger, they were with Jesus. And Jesus, I am greater than the temple. Now, the house of God is a house of sanctuary. The house of God, the temple, was a place where people could flee for refuge. But Jesus is greater than the temple. Jesus is God come down amongst men. You know, the temple was a place where people would meet with God. They would go up to God. Jesus is greater than that. He is God come down to men. So Jesus is this unique person. He's not just a carpenter from Nazareth who lived 2,000 years ago. He is a carpenter from Nazareth who lived 2,000 years ago. But he's more. He's greater than the temple. He is God come down among us. He is the God of mercy come down among us. Come unto me, the greater than the temple. Come to me. I am God, come down among you to be merciful to you. He says in verse 8, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. This day of rest, this day that promises heavenly rest, this day that is a picture of heaven and God's rest that he's holding out to people. Come and rest every Sabbath day. Come and rest. And rest in anticipation of the eternal rest, God's rest in heaven. And Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. And Jesus says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy and not sacrifice. It's not that God doesn't want sacrifice or didn't want sacrifice. He commanded sacrifice. He was the first one to offer a sacrifice. Remember Adam and Eve, in their guilt and shame, in their banishment, God slaughtered animals in order to clothe their shame. When Cain and Abel came to worship, they came as instructed by God, and Abel's faith knew that God accepts the sacrificial lamb as a substitute for the sinner. And he came and he was accepted. God commanded sacrifice. But he didn't take pleasure in the endless slaughter of animals in the Old Testament. He didn't take pleasure in the endless daily slaughtering of the morning and evening burnt offering for the nation. He commanded sacrifice, but what he really desires is mercy. It's just that the offering of sacrifice is necessitated in order to show mercy, in order to be merciful. But the problem with the Pharisees was they'd focused on the sacrifice as the means of attaining the mercy of God. They looked at sacrifice and forgot the mercy of God. And sacrifice, religious observance, obeying God, became the thing. And Jesus, didn't you read the prophet? The prophet saw the people, and the people were obsessive in their religion. They practiced their religion fanatically. But God desires mercy, not fanatic religious observance. Frantically doing this and doing that and doing that. God is not a God who delights to see his people going around like an army of ants practicing religion. God is a God who says, stop your religion and receive my mercy. Have you not known? Haven't you read the prophet? I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Some of you may be living a kind of life of sacrifice. You think that God will be influenced by you living sacrificially, you living religiously. So that coming to church is a sacrifice you have to make. You don't want to do it, but it's a sacrifice you make. Doing this in the name of religion is a sacrifice you have to make. And the whole of your experience of God, your whole of your view of God, is that God wants this kind of, wants our lives to be a miserable sacrifice. And it's going to be painful. There's going to be no joy in Christianity because it's all sacrifice. Haven't you read about Jesus? Haven't you read, I desire mercy, not sacrifice? I don't want you coming every Sunday and sitting in the pew thinking, how much longer has this got to go on? But I must do it because that's part of it, that's the sacrifice I've got to make. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I want to lift sinners out of their guilt and their shame. I want to bless them with my son's love and his life. I want them to share heaven with me. I want them to come home with me, God the Father would say. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. If you are making your Christianity into a life of sacrifice, miserable sacrifice, in the thought that that's what God wants, then you've misunderstood Christianity. Haven't you ever read what David did when he was hungry? He went to the house of God where he'd find mercy to alleviate his inner hunger. Haven't you read what sinners do when they are hungry for forgiveness? They come to one who's greater than the house of God. They come to Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. Our business is not to perpetuate religion. Our business is to come with a living faith to Jesus. That's what you must do. If you can find peace and rest for a restless heart and soul, come to Jesus. There's one greater than the temple, one who's the Lord of the Sabbath. So, the call of mercy, the sort of case studies of mercy. And finally, the cost of mercy. The cost of mercy. In the next verses, the Lord Jesus Christ is in a synagogue on the Sabbath day. There is a man who has a withered hand. And the Pharisees are there like a pack of hyenas wanting to devour Jesus Christ. Jesus looks around and says, what man among you, If he has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, doesn't he lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is than is a man than a sheep? Therefore it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and it was restored whole as the other. This was Jesus on the Sabbath day, the day of rest, the day when God promises to bring people into the enjoyment of his rest. Jesus, who's greater than this, the temple, who's God come among men, who's the mercy of God, shows mercy to this man. And what happens? Verse 14, the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, how they might destroy him. They had no taste for mercy. They had a taste for murder. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? Yes, we read it earlier. If we'd read on, you'd have read the price that Abiathar paid for his being merciful to David. That man Doeg from Saul, who saw Abiathar being merciful to David and giving him the showbread to eat and giving him Goliath's sword. Doeg went back to Saul, and Saul came to take vengeance on Abiathar. He killed Abiathar. He killed 70 plus of his sons for the fact that they showed mercy to David. The cost of mercy. The priests were slaughtered because they showed mercy to David. A greater than David is here. Greater than Abiathar is here, and a greater mercy than just alleviating hunger is shown by Jesus. Jesus shows mercy in forgiving all sins, to any who come to him. Jesus shows mercy in giving life to those who are dead, giving peace with God to those who have been rebels against God. Jesus is merciful and he's able to extend this mercy, but it comes at a cost to him. Abiathar did not know that Saul was going to come and slaughter him and his sons when he showed mercy to David. He didn't know that. But Jesus, in showing mercy to sinners, in saying to this one and to that one, your sins are forgiven you, he knew the price of mercy. He knew that God required a sacrifice that truly dealt with sin in order to be merciful to sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, how they might destroy him, he knew that to be merciful, he himself would have to die. There's a wonderful play on words in the scriptures. You're familiar with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, where the blood of atonement is poured or sprinkled on the Day of Atonement. The mercy seat. It's mercy because the blood has been shed for sinners. And the play on words in Romans chapter 3, Jesus is said to be, he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the mercy seat, the place of propitiation for us sinners. The price of mercy is the mangled, crucified body of Jesus hanging on the cross. The suffering of the Saviour. God didn't want endless, endless, endless sacrifices. They were pictures to that one sacrifice that would take away sin. The only sacrifice that would placate the wrath of God. The price of mercy to us. And it's paid by Jesus. Come to me. Jesus says. Jesus, the crucified one. Jesus, the now risen one, the reigning one, the one as the steward of heaven, as it were, the God's house. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Have you got that rest from Jesus? That peace in your soul from Jesus? I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Are you still sort of putting yourself out as a kind of sacrifice to God in your religion? And making your religion a kind of offering that may be acceptable? No, God doesn't want your religiosity. He wants you to come to Jesus as a needy, guilty, shameful sinner for mercy. And the price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all. And he doesn't need to pay any more. It is finished. The great atonement made. I desire mercy. Is that what you desire? A sinner longing for mercy, coming to a God who loves to show mercy. May we meet our God and know his mercy. Amen.